the wonderful musical talent and musicians that have been on this show, Cynthia Manley, Ernest Cold, Man Parrish, Paul Parker, Matt Gold, D.C. LaRue, Steve Skinner, Katie Agresta, Jason and DeMarco. The list goes on and on. It's only a very small fraction of the people who have appeared on this show who have been musical talent. And that is due in no small part to Mr. Glenn Rivera, our executive director of musical talent here on the Strictly Confidential radio show on the Head On Radio Network. Glenn has been a friend of this show from the very beginning. In fact, Glenn was a guest during the very first week of Strictly Confidential when it premiered back in June of 2007. If you'd like to hear the interview with Glenn Rivera, you can go to the strictlyconfidentialradio.com site and click on the June 2007 calendar, and you'll find him in the June 22nd calendar column. And just click on the show, and you'll get the streaming archive from the White Rose Society. We appreciate you very much, Glenn, and thank you for all the hard work that you do behind the scenes that not very many people realize you do. Glenn, in fact, has spent a lot of time editing the tracks for this evening for Pamela Stanley. Many of these are extended versions of extended dance tracks, and in order to make more time to talk with Pamela, Glenn edited them down to a more radio-friendly time. So we appreciate that, too. So I believe everyone will be able to connect nicely. Pamela Stanley. Wow. When Glenn first called me several weeks back to tell me that he had heard from Pamela Stanley and that he had talked to her about being on the show, my jaw simply dropped. Pamela Stanley is huge, to say the very least, and we're just delighted to have her with us this evening to join the long list of wonderful talent that Glenn Rivera has found us to be guests on this show. Pamela Stanley was born in Philadelphia and began singing with James and Sandra. Now, James and Sandra are her brother and sister when she was only 6 years old. And by the time she was 10 years old, she had already released 3 singles. Yeah, pretty amazing to begin that early, is it not? Wow. Now, she comes from a musical family. Her grandfather was a very talented individual. He could play any stringed instrument that was set before him, and in fact, I think he was also a piano tuner. He turned down a Hollywood career to stay with her grandmother. And Pamela's mother was a musical talent also. She was a major influence in the family, and she was a singer, as well as her mother's sisters. Sandra and Robin are both well-known singers down in the Houston area. And her brother is also well-known, James Lee Stanley. He's a recording artist in Hollywood, California, as well as a writer and producer. He owns his own record company. Pamela, in the mid to late 70s, was actually in New York singing television commercials. And when she got tired of that, she took off and flew to Germany and recorded a worldwide dance hit called This Is Hot for EMI and did extensive touring in Northern Europe and taped many television shows in Germany. Now she has, when she got back from the tour, actually, she and her husband, Frank, produced and released a track called I Don't Want to Talk About It. It was written by her brothers, James, and it went to the top 20 on the Billboard dance chart. Now, this is an amazing accomplishment, considering that the label was Pamela and Frank's own record label, Commander Records, and it was their very first release. And they next produced a classic called Coming Out of Hiding, which was also written by her brother, James. It was released on TSR Records. It went to the top 4 in the Billboard dance charts. It was also played extensively on MTV and Top 40 Video, I believe it's called, and also on Showtime. She was nominated for a Grammy Award for both Record of the Year and Best Female Vocalist on that track. This is amazing when you consider that she was up against and alongside folks like Tina Turner and Madonna for those awards. She did a track called If Looks Could Kill. It ended up being in an Arnold Schwarzenegger film called Raw Deal. It also went to the top 20 on the same charts. I believe also, if I'm not mistaken, If Looks Could Kill was covered by Heart. She's sung with everyone from Bette Midler to Natalie Cole and Frank Sinatra, and it is a delight to have her on the show. She's currently and has been recently doing cruise ship performances, very lucrative, and she's very talented. She, for example, earlier scheduled this year, Rio de Janeiro, the Carnival Cruise, Celebrity Millennium Caribbean Cruise, Norwegian Cruise Line sailing from Miami, Club Med, you name it. Delighted to have Pamela Stanley on the show. And Pamela, welcome to Strictly Confidential. Pamela, I'm delighted to have you on the show. And the regular listeners would tell you that my heart is always in my throat when I have someone on the show whose records I used to play in the dance clubs when I was DJing back in the 80s. So you definitely have me on my very best behavior, Pamela.
Oh, thank you.
It's
a thrill to be on the show. It's so fun to be doing a radio show again.
Well, it's a delight to have you, Pamela. We have a broad audience. In addition to the LGBT community, we have a large straight audience who sometimes know less about some of the music or artists that we have on the show than some of the LGBT folks. And they're always curious. In fact, the listeners are always curious about the what made the person. So really, if you don't mind, I'd love to start about in Philadelphia. What was it like growing up with a musical family like that, and who encouraged you?
You know, I didn't know. I thought every family was like that. At first, I didn't realize it because, I mean, I'm coming Italian, and like every weekend we'd go to my grandfather's, and he had his cellar fixed up, and he would sit there and play guitar or piano or whatever. I told you, mandolin, banjo, and he was very funny, and he just would sing, and so we all sang, and my mother's sister sang, and then when my brother was 12, he got that ukulele, and I always tell people I learned to sing by the S&M method because my brother took us up to his bedroom and he put us on our bed and he went, you sing this and you sing that. And if we didn't get it right, he would bend our fingers back. So we learned to harmonize really quick.
Well, I guess you did.
And then we started entering contests, but it just, I tell you, it was so fun. I mean, my mother wouldn't clean the house without singing South Pacific or Sound of Music. I just always heard music.
I see. That's a wonderful story. You know, the ukulele is an especially interesting point. I remember growing up having a ukulele. Those were really odd little instruments. They had a very distinctive little sort of a coming out of a tin can sort of a sound, but they were easy to play.
It was. They were, but then you've got bigger ones, and you can get bigger ukes, and they sounded better.
What type of music did your brother have you sing?
We were doing folk music back then, because he was older than us. We did stuff like Kingston Trio, Brothers Four. I'm talking about, this was the late 60s. So this is in the 60s, so what's happening is he was really big then, and it was all very harmony groups. Actually, Peter, Paul, and Mary, Mamas and the Papas. We did stuff like that.
Wonderful.
And so
I was just about to say that it sounds like the sort of music we had going on here when growing up with my sisters, the Peter, Paul, and Mary, and Mamas and Papas, all those wonderful artists that we had back, and those were definitely sing-along type songs. Those songs stuck in our minds, didn't they?
Yeah, and the vocals were so important, so you had to sing on pitch. You had to be good to pull those off.
Pamela, I'm seeing some
cluster harmonies.
I'm seeing some conflicting information in finding out about you over the last couple of days. Some reports say that you're from Dallas, but other reports say you're from Philadelphia, which is true.
I'm born in Philadelphia. I didn't move to Dallas till I married my second husband.
Oh.
And I got married very young, you know, because you know, when we were younger, you weren't allowed to sleep with them before marriage. You got married really young. Anyway.
Now, is that when you, I understand that you did a period of time actually doing country music. Now, was that was he an influence in that when you were living in Dallas?
That was when I was 17 and I lived in Norfolk, Virginia. I moved from Philly to Norfolk when I was 8. And I lived there till I was, after my first husband, till I was 20. And I left there in my early 20s after my first divorce. But country music was really big, and that's how I got started. Some of my brothers and sisters, and I had my recording contract from 10 to 13, which, had I really, you were going to mention that, I actually could have emailed you the MP. They're hysterical. I still have them.
Really? They are hysterical. I would love to actually have those. We could run them at a future date. We often run music from previous guests. There's some of your country tunes. Did they actually get recorded, Pamela?
No, I never recorded the country. At 17, I started singing with, that's when I started in the country music. But my brother had gone by then. He'd moved to L.A. by then. And my sister was married, and so I was alone. I was on my own. And I had a boyfriend that, a country boy from North Carolina whose parents owned a pig farm.
Oh, this is fabulous. From pig farm to Cancun. It's an everyday story in America.
And he said, honey, I think you'd do really good. I'm going to get you an agent. And so one Saturday morning, he took me down to this agent. There was no PI, no anything. I just walked in the office. The guy said, sing. So I sang. And it just so happened that there was a band in the next room looking for a singer. And when I walked out the door, they said, was that you? And I said, yeah. So they took me, and they said, can you do Harper Valley PTA? And I said, sure, but I didn't know it. He said, well, come tonight and audition. And so I ran to the store and got a 45 of Harper Valley PTA, and I learned it. I ran the show that night, and I got halfway through the song, and I forgot the words, and I didn't know what to do, so I kept going. You know how many verses are in that thing? So anyway, at the end of the song, the guy looked at me. I found my way back in. He said, you're hired. Anybody that would keep singing through that, you're in.
Oh, one wonders, one could imagine you singing the lyric about the day my mama socked it to the Harper Valley as a 17-year-old on the stage. That had to be.
When I look back, I think it is true. When you do look back, you think, like, where did I have the nerve?
Really, nerve really gets us through a lot of things that common sense won't, doesn't it? It's amazing.
Yes.
What prompted you to move to New York? You moved to New York when you were about 17, too, and New York, to me, coming from the South, seems like a scary place to go when you're only 17.
Yeah, I wasn't 17. They say it was, but they had it wrong. I was early 20s. I was old enough to go to New York. But I tell you, I wanted to be on Broadway. I wanted to be on Broadway. So I went to New York to be on Broadway. And I got a job in a piano bar, a gay piano bar on 46th Street. And then a German producer happened to come in there and see me. And he took me to Europe. That's how I got to into the disco, was through a German producer that just accidentally walked into this piano bar. And I was auditioning for Broadway plays.
So we go from the basement in your parents' home in Philadelphia to a pig farm in Virginia to a piano bar in New York to Germany singing disco. Do I have that just about right?
You really do, honey.
You've got nerve. You have got nerve. I've got to tell you. That's over the top even for me, and I thought I was a nervy person. What was it like going to Germany? You didn't speak the language, I would think.
No. And I got the Berlitz course, and I studied for like 2 months before I was over there. And so I get over there, and I still not very good. And then no one would speak German to me because they all wanted to practice English.
I see.
So I never did speak any German. But, I mean, I'd be in the studio, and you hear this, I'm so much funnier, now, and I'd be like, just sitting there, and then they go, okay, Pamela, sing. You know, and then the funny thing was, is when I went over there for the first meeting, they said to me, the Germans, they go, wie fandst du bereits Songs? And I'm like, what? No, Sie wollen schon so write. I go, I don't know how to write. You will write. People, when Germans tell you to write, you write. I went back to New York and I wrote my first album in 8 weeks.
Wow.
And all those songs on my very first, This Is Hot. Yeah, This Is Hot. All those ones that you have on Looking Back the Disco Years. I wrote them with another guy.
I see.
A lot of them. And then I had one friend that wrote three.
Did you have to go back to Germany to record them, or were you able to do that in New York?
Absolutely. No. I spent the next two years I spent mostly in Germany, off and on in Germany. You know, I go back between New York and Germany. And then they put me on tour of Europe, and then they sent me to L.A. Then I moved to L.A. because I was signed to EMI America and EMI Germany and EMI England, and it just went nation. It went worldwide, This Is Hot, the album.
Wow. So what was the
before I knew it, I was in South America, and it was a whirlwind.
Yeah. Well, what was the nightlife? You spent so much time in Germany. Surely you must have gone out and explored the evening activities and the clubs. What was that like in Germany in those days?
You know, they are fantastic. Germany is such a clean, beautiful country. I mean, and I was in Baden-Baden, Offenburg, Hamburg, all the places we went. But you do more TV than you do nightclubs there. They do a lot of television. But even, I'd say the nightclubs were very, you know, they were a little nervous. They had, their lighting was amazing and their sound systems. Germany's very slick. They're really incredibly intelligent and actually a lot of fun. They love to laugh. And I was so surprised because, you know, how Germans are depicted in movies and stuff. And one thing they are is very disciplined. Like, it's the only time I made an album where you worked from 10 in the morning till 7 at night, 6 days a week. You went in Monday through Saturday, 10 in the morning till 7 with an hour break. And at 7 o'clock, I don't care where you were in recording that thing, it was shut down at 7. And then everyone goes to dinner, and your dinners go from 8 to about 10:30 or 11. That's really, I spent more time in nice restaurants than I actually did clubbing, because I have to tell you, when I was in Europe, I was working. There, you know, you're working all the time. There's not much playtime. I was either driving somewhere to do a concert or showing up at some television, or I'm in Amsterdam, or I'm over in England, or, but it was really fun. I took trains places, and it was such an experience. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it.
Wow, it's mind-boggling, really, to think about that. To have an enforced schedule, it's almost like working at an office. Yet you're a musical talent. What did you do you can't just sing every day, and you can't just write every day. There are good days and bad days. What was it like? Did you have like a straw boss telling you to get to work? How'd that work?
No, the songs were already written. I'll tell you what I had. My budget was unlimited. So every day I would go in and they go, okay, we're going to work on this song today. What would you like to happen on this song? So he would sit me with an orchestra, with a man that wrote out all the work. I mean, I had a 65-piece orchestra on my record. I mean, it was unreal. I would say, I think I'd like a harp, and I'd like a little oboe in this area.
They actually hired
I swear to you, it was, just let that go through that somebody kind of get me.
Well, that's just amazing. The very idea, you know, some of the old music, it sounded so rich and lush and lucid and warm because of the live instruments. What do you think of the changes in the way music is done these days versus a 60? That had to be a great experience. Most of the younger people would have no idea how to act with a 65-piece orchestra.
Let me tell you, I just cried. I cried because I wrote these songs, you know, these little songs. And I walked in the studio, and there was the orchestra sitting there, and they like cut it off, and they start playing these strings. And I mean, I tell you, I just tears. I was overwhelmed. And it's true.
Wow.
You can hear it. There's two things that happen. It's like good news, bad news. when the digital came in and all the drum machines and all that, it made it much easier in some ways because you were right on the money, you know, you weren't counting. And like when I made disco first, I mean, that poor bass player was playing do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do for 6 minutes. You know, I mean, it was all done live.
Yeah.
You know, and it, on 2-inch tape, I mean, I've gone from my very first recordings, I have been where you sang with the band and it was only two tracks. When I was 10, you recorded everything at the same time and you did it over and over until it was right. So I went from that to where I did the 2-inch tracks where you could get 24 tracks or 48 tracks, but I mean, with the live, then I went to digital. Then I've gone, now I do all computer. I mean, I have completely done the spectrum of recording. I know a lot about recording.
Well, that's amazing.
I'm a great editor.
I bet you are. I've seen reels of 2-inch tape. All of our listeners have no idea, but it's actually tape that's two inches wide, not this eighth inch like a cassette, but actually 2 inches wide. How do you use a razor blade with tape that wide? Isn't that kind of awkward to edit? 2-inch, or do you even bother to do that with the 2-inch? Go ahead.
You don't edit your 2-inch. In fact, one guy talked me into doing it as a big mistake. Coming out of hiding was spliced 38 times, and it was two 2-inch tracks. It was 48 tracks, and two machines locked up to each other. So if you sliced it on one machine, you had to slice it perfectly on the other machine.
Oh, wow.
When you're making splices. But you don't ever do your 2-inch tapes, I learned after. You only do it when you master it down to where it's just a quarter-inch tape or an inch tape you would do when you used to make the masters before it went to press. You would do it like that.
Well,
you know, you're going to laugh. My boyfriend will continue to call in here. Do we have a song we can play while I just tell my boyfriend to stop calling?
Well, sure. Why don't we pick a track and do that? You know, our friend Glenn has edited lots of tracks for us. I think you may be working off the same list. Why don't we choose one of the ones that came out of this time frame? How about the first one then? Was This Is Hot, if I'm not mistaken, back in Germany,
this is
right?
That was the first one I wrote, I wrote that with a producer in Germany. Well, you play that, I'm going to call my boyfriend, tell him to stop calling.
Well, you got to admire the guy. He's persistent. Bobby, go ahead and roll the This Is Hot track for us, Bob. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
The gypsy.
And that was one of Pamela's very early hits. That was recorded in Germany, apparently, with a 65-piece orchestra. That would bring tears to my eyes also. Thank you, Glenn, for editing that down to a radio-friendly size. How did boyfriend take it, Pamela?
Oh, he was laughing. He forgot. I mean, I told him, go on the radio, listen to me. He completely forgot. He's so embarrassed.
Really...
He said he's sorry.
Well, you got to give that guy credit for being persistent. I think that's actually wonderful. He was not having it that you weren't answering your phone. We're not going to have this, Pamela. Not going to deal with it.
No, because I'm out of town. I'm working at a really great club all summer in Rehoboth Beach. I don't just do cruises. I do everything. I'm coming to San Francisco.
Wow, for Pride?
I'm not coming. I'm going to San Francisco just today. I just finished. I'll be there October 13th at the Raz Room. You know, you never know what I'm going to do. I work wonderful cruises with Atlantis Cruises. I do a lot of gay cruises. And
wow.
I do straight cruises, too.
Yeah. this beach that you say you're working at, a wonderful club at a beach. Now, this beach is in California? You're in California now?
I'm actually in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And the place is called the Blue Moon. And anyone from Washington, D.C., from Virginia Beach to New York to all of this, it's a very big, it's a resort area, and it has a lot of, it's very gay friendly. It's a lot of the gay community is here. And I play a restaurant that is both gay and straight. It's really amazing. It's a wonderful place I play here.
It sounds wonderful. Do you do some of the high energy stuff? Because, you know, Pamela, I've got to tell you, I grew up in the South, so I know my summer times. I know them well. And I have got to tell you that Glenn sent a track where you did Summertime, and it is to die for. Are you doing music like that at the club? What sort are you doing?
I do everything, any show I do now, because I have a blues record, a jazz record, a Broadway record, and my disco. I am a music, I love different types of music. So when I do a show here, I will do some jazz, then I'll go to Broadway, I'll do some funny, silly songs, I'll do disco, I do New Orleans blues and jazz. I am so versatile because I have loved all these different types of music, and I've spent years in each venue. Like I spent 10 years in the disco world, and then from 94 on, I went into blues, jazz. And earlier I would have done Broadway, but then I came back to Broadway. So my spectrum of music is a lot.
Wow.
I have a lot. And I say I have musical ADD because I never can stay, but my shows jump all over the place.
Well, one of the interesting facts I came across was in Fort Lauderdale, you actually had a New Orleans-style jazz blues band for a number of years and became quite successful down there with that.
It was fantastic. I had a violinist. You're going to love it. The band was five pieces. It was me and a girl sax player that was so hot, a blonde, and I had a bass player and a drummer, guys, and then I had a girl violinist. Now, this is what I love about this girl violinist. She was a classically trained ballerina and violinist who grew up and went to Vassar and became a lawyer, and how she made her way through college is she stripped on the side.
Oh, my God.
So when she played violin, she would get on top of my grand piano, and she could do back bends while she played violin. I mean, the band was just hot. I'm not kidding.
Scandalous. Absolutely scandalous. But, wow, the crowds must have loved it.
We were really popular. I did that for about four and a half years. By the time 89 came, I had a baby. He was 7 by then. And I decided that it was time to I moved to Vegas after that. There's so much. We need like 6 days of it. I had been living in Vegas. Yeah. And then I realized that he was going to turn 10. So in 92, that's when I decided that I was going to get off the road and I was going to stay one place until he went to college. And I picked Fort Lauderdale because I had a wonderful job offer there to do this New Orleans music, and I love a challenge. So I said, okay, I've never done jazz or New Orleans. I said, sure, I'll try.
Wow.
So we moved there, and we went there strictly. And his mother, my husband's mother, lived there. So we went down there to be near her, so Frankie could be near the grandmother. And I started a whole new life. And I started writing. You know, but it was great for me.
This is the young man who went to Florida State University in Tallahassee?
Yes, and he's in New York now.
He is. That's amazing. So you've been through Tallahassee. You know my neck of the woods to a degree, don't you?
I love Tallahassee.
Well, lots of trees.
You know, it's so, I liked it because you still had the city there because of the government and all that stuff, but you still felt like it had some country to it, and I loved the rolling hill. I just loved it there. I was really happy when he picked Florida State.
Well,
I'm glad he loved it.
He did. How old is he now?
He's 25.
25, and he's an attorney in New York. He certainly got a great start then from FSU to make it.
Yeah.
If you could make it there,
oh, no,
you could make it
anywhere. He's not an attorney. He's in stocks. He's in stocks.
In stocks. I see.
He's a gambler.
He's a gambler. I see. Well, you had mentioned a moment ago you had gone back to New York and done Broadway music. Now, you had also earlier in the interview said that it was your dream to do Broadway. Did you perform in some shows there, or are you sang? How did that work with the Broadway experience with music?
What I did was, when I was younger, I was auditioning. I did Cattle Claws and stuff. And the closest I got to being in a Broadway play was I went for a cattle call. I was called in to do it. I got to the last five girls. I sang for Harold Prince, and it was for this new play coming out in the late 70s. And they turned out picking this little B.I.T. named Patti LuPone for Evita. She got it over me. And that was the closest I got. But here was the weird thing. I was auditioning for that play at the same time I got offered the record deal in Germany. So it was the same time. It was 78. And I said to myself, if I get the play, I will do the play. If I don't get the play, I'm on my way to Germany. And I didn't get the play that night, and I think I left 2 days later for Germany.
Wow.
That's how I decided that would kind of be the determining factor. And I meant to go back to Broadway, but I never knew that my career was going to do all that. So I never have made it back to Broadway, and now I have to tell you, I sing better than I ever sang. When I hear that voice, when this is hot, that voice sounds so young. Now I'm really ready for Broadway. People even tell me my voice is big, like Ethel Merman. I have a Broadway voice now. It just developed.
Well,
I will go back and play the older parts.
Yeah. Some of the information about you tells me that is it pronounced bel canto, meaning beautiful singing in Italian? Is that right? Is that a special technique that you?
No, it was how someone described me. That was a writer at the time. He wrote an article, and that's how he described me.
Yeah.
It just means that I can go from sweet tones to large tones to, you know, It's just having a lot of control over your voice, and I don't know why he described me that way, but he did, and I liked it.
I liked it too. In fact, I had to actually Google it to find out what exactly he was talking about. Apparently, it originated back in the 17th century. It was a technique, and also means beautiful singing, which you do. Tell us, please, about the Christmas special in South America.
You know, I get myself in it. Are you ready for this? Now, this is hot that we just played.
Yeah.
Here it was out, and it was number 13, and I'm traveling all over the country, and EMI is funding my tour, and I get to Miami, and I get up on the morning, and I call back to L.A., and I go, could I please speak with Joey Palminteri, who was the head of the disco department? And they go, Joey Palminteri is no longer here. I go, what? I mean, like yesterday he was there. Today he's not there. No, well, let me talk to anyone in the disco department. And they go, well, we're sorry, but the disco department is shut down. I go, what? They closed disco. They got scared in the end of 79, right before 80, that the headlines came out, disco dies. Do you remember that when they were like saying, disco's over there? And so they pulled all the money from my tour and they left me in Miami. Diane and Miami was nothing. So I didn't know what I was going to do, and my sister had gotten married recently, and I met her mother-in-law, Bethetti, who lived in South Florida, so I called her. I said, hi, Ida, can I come and visit you? Because I thought, I got to see what I'm going to do. Make a long story short, some guy that owned a club down in Ecuador had bought my records in Miami and loved me, and he was having a birthday party. 2 days after they pulled my money for the tour, I get a call from Ecuador, where I please come and sing at this guy's birthday party.
Yes.
And I'm a sport. I went. I said, sure. Okay.
Yes.
So I said,
yes,
Ida, sure, nice to see you, Ida. I'm out of here. I flew down there, and on the way down, I sit next to this guy and this girl, and I'm talking to them, and I like to talk. And this man and this woman, and it just so happens that she works at a television station. She, by the time we got down there, she mentions me to the television station. They call me. They get in touch with EMI America. I get my record released within, like, less than 2 weeks. And when I played down at the first weekend, I was supposed to play this guy's birthday party. The government has this coup, and the whole club shut down, and I didn't know if I was in the other country. They said, do you mind waiting another week because we had to put up the birthday party? I'm like, no, I don't care. So in the meantime, she says, well, since you're going to be here, do you mind being on this television show? So I go on the Christian Johnson show down there, and I'm speaking broken Spanish, and every time I said anything in Spanish, the people would roar, and they asked me to sing, so they ended up loving me, and they had me on every week. I ended up staying in Ecuador for a month. My record was released. I have an article written on me, and they ended up giving me a Christmas special off my own.
A Christmas special in Ecuador, Pamela. This is off the chart. That's amazing. What, on Ecuador television?
Yes, and I have a DVD out. I don't know if you got it, but I have a wonderful DVD that if you buy the Looking Back CD off my website, you get a free DVD with it. And it's three of the tracks are from that show, and it's hysterical. The outfit, the horrible television that they had down there, you know, that was so amateur.
Wow.
But it was really, really fun.
Pamela, tell us your website there. Would you have a chance? Go ahead.
It's www.pamelastanley.com. And Pamela is spelled P-A-M-A-L-A. I don't spell it the regular.
Yeah.
And people
Pamela,
always
they're,
say
they're...
why.
Yeah, well, okay.
Why do
okay.
I spell
why?
My name P-M-A? I know. Yeah. And when I was 17, I went to the movie, and I saw a movie called Funny Girl.
Yeah.
And I fell in love with that. And I noticed that the girl that was the star of it, Barbara Streisand, spelled her name B-A-R-B-R-A. And she didn't have her A. She dropped her A. And I thought, well, I'm dropping my A. I'm dropping my E. I'm picking up her A. So I dropped the E out of my name, and I picked up Barbara's A.
Wow.
And I've been spelling it that way ever since.
That's a great story. I've heard of lots of stories of people changing the spelling of their name, but never one quite that unique. Pamela, there's some questions for you that are coming out of the chat room. One question is regarding Ralph Stanley. Now, Ralph Stanley sang on the soundtrack of Brother, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Are you related to Ralph Stanley?
You know, I don't know, but I do have a very large Stanley family. If he's from Tennessee, Georgia, if it's anywhere in that area, I might be related to him. There are a few Stanleys around, but I've never researched it. But I don't know him personally.
I see. Another question for you. When we're talking about editing tape, and that we have VJC is one of our DJs. He's in the chat room. He's a Disco 935 in New York. He's asking, can you mix? In other words, do you DJ too? I mean, you do all these things. We're wondering if you're also a DJ.
I tell you, I produce, I mix records like that, but as far as being a DJ, I am in awe of how you get two records going at the same time and switch. That I don't know how to do, and that's I'm in awe. Of how they do that. My son did it. He DJ'd.
Yeah.
But no, I tried it a couple of times. It really is not that easy.
Did he DJ in Tallahassee by any chance?
No, he DJed in South Florida. He was a bartender in Tallahassee at Florida State at one of those, at Potbellies, which was really big. He was the head bartender there for. My son did the 5.5-year plan, you know. A lot of party, a little school. A lot of party, a little school.
Yeah, they, Florida State offers a great 5.5-year plan. They really do. Also, I have a message for you, Pamela. I'm to tell you that the boys from Belgium are saying hello to you. Do you know the boys from Belgium? And also, there's a special hello from the boys in Belgium from Irwin. I believe Irwin is I need to say hello to you.
Well, I remember the guys from Belgium. Ask him if they met them in Mykonos.
Oh, well, this was via email, so I don't have
email.
Them.
Oh, by email.
Yeah, yeah, the people participate by email and call in. There's all kind of different ways.
Isn't that so sweet? Can you make a
youth
over there?
Yes, yes. Anywhere there's a computer in the entire planet, people
incredible?
Are listening to. You know, Glenn's mailing list, Glenn Rivera, our friend who was gracious enough to have you join us, has an extensive mailing list. So it went out, the announcement went out all over the world. So we have listeners everywhere, and a lot of them will be listening to this after the fact because the stream is available as an archive.
I'm glad because a lot of people have emailed me and said, I'm here, can I get it later? And I said yes.
Absolutely.
I told them that they could listen to it later.
Absolutely. I'll be sure that you, in fact, get a copy of that. What in the world is Fort Lauderdale's boat parade and Winterfest? I'm finding out things here that I don't know goes on. What was that about? What did you do there?
That is a huge, for years, I'm talking, I don't know how many years they've been having the boat parade in Fort Lauderdale. We're talking like over 100 boats yachts that completely, anywhere from, you know, over 100-foot yacht to a 100-foot, maybe 80-foot, down to the smallest little teeny dinghy that wants to decorate. What happens is they have judges, and it's huge. We bring in always some major star that comes in, and they're the master ceremonies for the parade. And so they have it every year, and all the boats compete for the best lighting, the best entertainment, the best theme, you know, goes on and on. And so I was asked to, do this boat for these wealthy people that are really great people. And so I said, sure, I'll sing. Well, I didn't know that you win for that. So I won that a couple years in a row as best entertainment on the, it's really, and it's aired like all over the, they have many, many stations. I mean, I don't want to say over the world, but you can see it in many parts of the world. It was aired. You know, it was a lot of fun. But it was hard because sometimes I was singing. One year it was pouring rain, and I'm out there singing for 3 hours. I was sicker than a dog after. But I won.
Wow. Pamela, let's jump to another city. I want you to tell us the story of Boston and Kiss FM and what you did to the car next to you.
You heard that story? I ever heard I don't want to talk about it, I'm driving down the road in Boston, and all of a sudden the car next to me, and my car is up next, so I had Kiss FM, was playing I Don't Want to Talk About It, and I could hear the guy next to me, and there was my song for the very first time, and I am screaming out the window at him, look, that's me! That's me! And you know Boston people, yeah, right, he's looking at me, he's like, he's giving me this dirty look, yeah, sure. He just drives off. And I was like, no, really, that's me. And one time in New York, this guy is buying this record. This is hot. I'm standing in the record store, and I go, you're buying that record? He goes, yes, my daughter really loves her. I said, well, that's me. He goes, yeah. Would you let me to sign one for your daughter? No. I mean, he was so rude. No, I don't. No, really, I thought, yeah, right. No, I promise, that's me.
That's amazing.
The man did not want me to sign it.
So the first time you ever heard your track, I Don't Want to Talk About It, played it, that was the very first time, and you were so excited you yelled at the guy in the car next to you. That's priceless,
yelled
really.
At him. It's me, yeah, right.
Pamela, we have a caller on the line. VJC is on the line to talk with you. Pamela, VJC is Victor. He runs disco935.net in New York. Welcome to the show, Victor.
Hi, Peter. Hi, Pamela. It's VJC from disco935 here in New York.
Hello.
I run an internet station. I've been doing it for 10 years, and I play 70s, 80s disco music and beyond. I featured your music many times in mixes, and I've been hearing the show, and you're all right. You're all right. You sound so bubbly. You sound so down to earth, too.
Well, I appreciate you playing my music, can I tell you? Because I didn't realize that they were still playing it so much. The last few years, I told them I waited till my son grew up, and then I started going out again. And uh-huh. I am amazed. I can't thank you enough.
Well, here in New York, This Is Hot was a real big hit back in the day. The station's called KT and BLS. Used to rock it real hard. And even in the club, they still play, but not as much. But it still sounds so sweet still from back in the day. It sounds like it just you just heard it from yesterday. I mean, 30 years later, whatever it did, it sounds great. I mean, that's the beauty of the music back in the day. It still sounds so sweet, and it's like the stuff that they play today. It only lasts for a couple of months, and then it fades away. This stuff that was played back in the day, it still sounds it's classic. It just won't go away. It's like it's classical music. It's just classical. In my opinion.
Well, it amazes me because my son's 25 and he listens to 80s disco, 70s and 80s.
Right. If you notice when you listen to that music, it still sounds like it was just yesterday. And even though the time has gone by, but it's like time didn't go by. But if you listen to today's music, because everything is computerized, for some reason everything sounds the same. The music and the vocals, whether it's male or female, and it's just there's no distinguish. You know, you can't distinguish from one sound to the other sound because they all sound the same because everybody's trying to make a buck. Anyway, the thing is why I also called was that I've been hearing you and Peter discussing about your many, many talents about editing and all this stuff. So I was saying, you know, I need a female DJ on my station. I thought maybe you DJ.
do you have to mix like from one to another or can you play a song and talk and play a song? I'm good at that.
Well, if you could do like a show like that, I mean, fine. And, you know, if you like to do that stuff, it's no problem. But the thing is, I mean, if you can mix, but I've been hearing that you said you can't mix, so I can also teach you.
Well, I bet you could.
There's ways of doing it with software. You know, today you could do some magical things with software on the computer. There's ways of doing that, but I mean, I don't use software. I do everything live with CD players. I used to use turntables too. I used to do turntables and CD players, and mix my music. And I got away from the vinyl because everything is now digital. So now everything I use is basically MP3s and CDs. So that's what
Pamela, it sounds like you have a job offer in New York when you're done with Delaware.
You
can just.
I'm not that far from New York. I'm coming up to see my son. I would love to meet with you. I've never thought of doing that, but that could be a blast.
Well, you there is my website. You have the website that Peter can give it to you, disco935.net. You can go in there. There's an email there, and you can contact each other and see what happens. But
okay, and you can go to my website. We can do it.
I know, and also I have your MySpace, right?
I have a MySpace, too.
Right, I just send you an invitation or whatever, so I could, chat back and forth, whatever it is. But the fact of the matter is, I've been playing your music for a long time. You have a great voice, and, continue your great work. I mean, you have such a lot of, you're very talented. I mean, from what I'm just hearing so far in the show, especially for a woman to say she knows how to edit and everything. That's a bonus in itself because a lot of ladies like that who sing and everything, they just don't know anything about the studio. But from what I've been gathering, that's great. That's great. It's a great thing.
But I will tell you something exciting.
Yes.
Paul Parker has written some new songs for me, and I'm going to be producing some new stuff. Actually, Paul Goodyear is going to be producing me with a Paul Parker song, and also I'm going to be working with Rick Giannatos. Do you remember Rick that mixed my first record? So in the fall, I'm really looking forward to some. I'm going to have some new, and I'm actually going to go ahead and do more dance music. I thought I was too old.
No,
but all the old girls are coming back.
Let me tell you something, Pamela. I'm 52 years old. So, I mean, I'm still DJing, and I've been running the station. I mean, whatever. So it's never too old. It's how you feel inside.
Well, I feel great, and I joined Weight Watchers, so I look good, too.
Peter had a couple of weeks ago, Linda Clifford on. I mean, and she's got to be up in her 60s somewhere. She sounds so great. I seen her, you know, she looks good. And she still sounds great. I mean, come on.
She's a girlfriend of mine. I love her.
Well, whatever. I know you people are much, much older than me, but whatever. The thing is the fact of the matter is, if you do have the singles, whatever you can pass them my way, I will play them on Disco 95. I mean, I will push the music as much as I can. So if you send me some, you know, your singles, whatever, as promos, whatever, I will push them out there.
Well, great, Victor. Her MySpace page and also her site link is right there on the Strictly Confidential Radio. It's easy to find. And I'll make sure you get the disco935.net link, Pamela.
Okay. All right, so it's nice talking to you, Pamela.
Nice to talk to you, Victor.
Okay, and continue the show. You sound so, so sweet.
Thank you.
Yes, she's delightful.
Have a good night. And Peter, as always, excellent job. You are the bomb.
Thank you, Victor. You're delightful. Thank you for calling, Victor. Pamela, I'd love to take a moment to play for the folks who haven't heard I Don't Want to Talk About It. As I said, we have a large mix of listeners, and some of them probably, even though the huge majority has heard it, many of them have not. And I want them to hear the song that caused you to scream out the car window, "That's me! That's me!" I think that's a priceless story in Boston. And Glenn has edited these down to a nice radio length, and we'll proceed after that. Bob, go ahead and please run the I Don't Want to Talk About It track.